Welcome to another message from the Gospel according to Mark. We're in the 15th chapter, and verse 22 is where we'll start. Now, in the Greek, we're studying from Greek, but let's go back in the Amplified Bible, and let's read up to where we're going. Fifteenth chapter and verse number 11. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to get him to release for them Barabbas instead. Pontius Pilate tried everything he could do to give Jesus freedom and to release him, because he was not guilty of the charges they brought against him. As a matter of fact, Pontius Pilate knew well their law, and he told them that they were guilty, not him. He said, "I find no fault in him." Now, Pontius Pilate five times declared Jesus innocent, tried to release him. He even had him whipped, scourged, terribly scourged, and said, "Behold the man." There's a place there called Ecce Homo, "Behold the man," in Latin. In that place where he told them, look at this man. Look how riddled he is. Look how bad a shape he's in. Isn't this enough? And they said, no, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate, in his letter to Tiberius Caesar, said, "It seems like the hounds and demons of hell had been turned loose in the palace." He said the place was rumbling with their hate and cries and screams demonically. And again Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why? What has this man done that is evil?" But they shouted with all their might, the more, "Crucify him, crucify him," at once. Punctiliar action. So Pontius Pilate, the word there means deciding, that he had to satisfy the crowd. He set Barabbas free for them. And after having whipped Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Now, Mark is very brief in what he's saying here. He said to them, "Behold the man. Isn't this enough?" And they kept on screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then the soldiers led him away to the courtyard inside the palace, which is the Praetorium. And they called the entire detachment of soldiers together. And they dressed him in a purple robe, wearing together a crown of thorns they placed upon it. We talked about this. The curse upon the earth was placed upon him. Thorns and thistles are a curse. They placed the cursed earth, fruit of the cursed earth, upon him. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The world was already condemned. The world always accursed. But all the curse, from the very thorns of the earth, to all the sins of mankind, were placed upon our great Savior and our King. And they kept on saluting him and said, "Greeting, good health to you, long life to you, King of the Jews." And they struck his head with a staff made of a bamboo-like reed. And they spit upon him. They kept on bowing their knees to him and doing homage to him. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. And when they had finished mocking and making sport of him, they took the purple robe off of him and put his own clothes on him, soaked in blood. And they led him out to the city to crucify him. Out of the city to crucify him. And they forced a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the field to carry his cross. And here we go to the Greek now. Kai phorousen auton epiton galgathon topon ho esten mather me nuomenos. Chronio topos. In 1975, 1976, I went to this place. They say it looked just like the place where Jesus was crucified. It's called Gorton's Tomb. And when I looked upon that hill, the whole, I can't explain it. I looked upon that hill, was just like the place that Jesus was crucified. And it seemed from the bottom of my heart, I saw my Savior there, dying for me. Of all the time I was on that archaeological tour, that was a place. I felt like I was on holy ground in many places. But when I saw Golgotha, as it, they said it looked like, it touched my heart so deeply. Like I felt all the lashes of my own sins upon me that were upon my Savior. And the compassion I felt for him at that place, only one that is saved can know. And they carried him. They carried him. Jesus was probably so in such a great, terrible condition from the flogging and the blood loss and the dehydration that they had to carry him the rest of the way to the cross. And they carried him upon Golgotha, the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, translated, the skull place, the place of the cranium. And as it looks today, you can see that Marilyn painted a picture with three crosses on it. And you can see the face of this, the place of the skull. I don't know whether that was a place or not. There are one Calvary that's very old where Jesus was, but it's been the ground, the land has been so changed because of wars. But they say that that place that is called Gordon's Calvary looked a lot like and meets the description of the place. Kai idodun auto es mir nisminon oinon hos de uk eleben. And they kept on giving to him, having spiced with opium wine, have drugged, medicated wine. Now, one of the gifts that was brought to Jesus by the Magi was opium. One of the gifts that Jacob sent to Joseph was opium. We're talking about a drug that was used by the rich. Today, they use it. It's called codeine in cough medicine. It was a very expensive drug even back in those days. And the rich used this for stomach disorders irritable bowel syndrome, dysentery, coughs, and lung disorders. And the way you administered opium was you put it in alcohol. And so this is alcoholic wine. Now, this is a painkiller here. And they use this as a painkiller, as a medication to calm the bowels and coughs. And that's what it was used for at this time. Now, we talked the last message. Jesus was crucified on a towel-type cross. Archaeologically, that's what they used to crucify him on. The cross beam, they say the victim had to carry. Jesus could not carry his cross. He was so in such terrible condition. His back was lacerated and ripped to shreds. He had had so much blood loss and dehydration already before he was ever crucified. Pilate did that to him, or had it done to him, so they would have mercy upon him and set him free. But it wasn't enough. They wanted him destroyed. They wanted him killed, murdered. His own received him not. Okay, we have wine spiced or spiked with opium. Now, this wasn't a thing of mercy. The reason why they would give them this wine and this opium is so that they would last longer in this crucified condition. So they would set up there on the cross. It was known and has been recorded in history that some people lived on the cross as much as 2 to 3 weeks. Crucified. The final result was suffocation. They started out with a stake-type cross. They died too fast. They evolved into an X-type cross. They died too fast. They suffocated. And then they devised this towel-type cross, like a T, even put a seat on it so they could rest in between pushing themselves up for a breath. Not for mercy, so that they would suffer that crucifixion longer. So it would be a deterrent to rebellion or crimes of whatever. A Roman citizen was not to be crucified. That's why the Apostle Paul was not crucified. He was beheaded. Jesus was the King of the Jews. He was exactly in lineage for it. Pontius Pilate called him Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He wrote it in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek with his own hand. It doesn't tell you all of that here, but this is the rest of the story. They demanded that he say that he was king. Say that he said he was king. He said, no, what I have written, I have written. Then they asked him for a guard for the tomb. And he said, you got a guard, the temple guard, Herodians. You go do the best you can with it. And then he sent his people to watch them. And they kept on giving to him, kept on trying to give to him, spiked wine. Wine, alcohol with opium in it. That is the way they administered opium. Today, if you get prescription cough medicine that has codeine in it, it will have alcohol in it also. That's how it is administered. Many people in history, they talk about different ones that were on laudanum or opium. And every time you see somebody taking opium, it's with whiskey or alcohol of some sort. Doc Holliday had tuberculosis. The treatment for tuberculosis was laudanum or opium with whiskey or alcohol. He drank and he took the opium to stop his cough. And this is what it was for. This spiked wine. But he did not receive it. He did not receive it. Kai starusen auton kai dia mesrizonte ta hematia autu bolontes cleron ep auta tis te are. And they staked him. They crucified him. Third person plural, present indicative active. He was in a state of crucifixion. His arms were tied out on this crossbeam. There was a washer on each spike driven through his carpal tunnel, the most painful place you can be impaled. Both hands. There was a seat down there. He was stripped naked. He had no diaper looking affair on. He was naked. The King of glory and the God of heaven stood there between heaven and earth, naked and bare, with our sins upon him. And they took his feet and crossed them and spiked them with a washer on them through his ankles. You twist your ankle, you twist your wrist, you have carpal tunnel syndrome, it's painful. Can you imagine what it would be like to have nails driven through your carpal tunnel, both of them, and you're hanging by the weight of your body on that, and your ankles have nails driven through them, and you're pulling yourself up, dying in excruciating pain with your arms and trying to push yourself up with your feet with nails driven through them. Have you ever tried to walk across the yard with a goat head in your foot or a sand burr? It's painful. Magnify that 10,000 times. And that's what the Lord of glory suffered for you. And they continued to crucify him. And they divided for themselves the garments of him, casting lots upon them for who might take the garment. For who might take the garment. Like rolling dice. Gambling for his clothes. Gambling for his clothes. Many people use this as a scripture against gambling. Gambling is dishonest gain. That's no good. Gambling is dishonest gain. By the sweat of your nostrils you shall earn your living, not by gambling. Yet there's professional gamblers. Gambling is an addiction. I've known people that suffered from this addiction. I live in the state of Nevada. There is a slot machine or a game of chance in every service station and every grocery store, market in the place. The only place around here that we do not have a slot machine is in our what you might call a hardware store. And he could have one in there, but he doesn't. Gambling. Gambling is a sin, and gambling is an addiction. I haven't spent much time in casinos, but my wife's mother was a gambling addict and spent probably $1 million throwing it away. And my wife would have to go with her mother and go get her money to put into the machines to throw it away. And she said she saw people that were living in rags and taking hundreds of dollars and putting in those slot machines. Thousands of dollars. I knew a man that lived here in this valley one time. He made really good money and he lived in a hovel. Made big money and lived in a shack. Because every payday, he would take his whole paycheck, except for what little bills he paid, and gamble it all away. He had to hit the jackpot on every machine. Obsession. Obsessions. Eating can be an obsession. Sex can be an obsession. Love can be an obsession sometimes. And gambling can be an obsession. Eide hora trite kai estarusen auton. And it kept on being the 9 a.m., the third hour. And they crucified him at 9 a.m. in the morning. 9 a.m. in the morning. 1526. Kai ein he epigraphe tes etias autu epigegramene ho basileus tod judeon. And it kept on being the writing of the accusations of him, having been written upon nominative singular masculine participle, perfect participle passive, the king of the Jews. Pilate wanted to get back at these Jews every way he could. The last stroke that he could do was use your own soldiers to guard the tomb, and I'm not changing what I wrote on that cross. This is what you accused him of doing. And by the way, he was the king of the Jews, not Herod. 1527. Kai sin auto starusen dio lestas hina ek dexion kai hina ex yon nemon auto. And also, together with him, they crucified two plunderers, a cutthroat, Lestas. Plunderers, murderers, bandits, outlaws. One out of the right side of him, and one out of the left side of him. This word here, lestos, means to openly rob. In broad daylight, to rob with violence and disregard for any law and order. These people were outlaws, murderers, robbers. And their captain was, their leader was Barnabas. They put Christ in the middle. You know why? Why Christ was put in the middle of these two men? Because they put the worst man, the worst enemy of the state, in the middle. Barabbas should have stood there. Your sins were there upon him. The meanest, most cutthroat, ruthless character was crucified in the middle. And that man was our Jesus. The greatest man, the most perfect man that ever lived. He was numbered with the outlaws, Isaiah 53. Verse 28 is not in the original text, by the way. So we'll go to verse 29. Kai hoi para puru menoi e blasphemon auton kenostes tas kafales auton kai legontes uah ho katalion ton naon kai oika domon in trisa hemeros. And the ones passing beside for themselves, they're there, they're enjoying this middle voice. Nominative plural masculine, present participle, middle voice. They're enjoying passing by. They keep on going by. They keep on going by. They're looking at the sideshow, the carnival, that they have invented and instigated. That terrible man Barabbas should have been in the middle of those two. But Jesus Christ, innocent Lamb of God, stood in the place of the worst criminal. They kept on passing by for themselves, these ones, and they kept on blaspheming him, wagging the heads of them, oh, oh, oh. Goody, goody, goody. And saying, aha! Ooh-ah! Now this is an onomatopoetic word. It's an expression of insult, and it is also a meaning of calamity. You got what you deserved. No, he got what we deserved. Their sins were upon him. It wasn't efficacious unless they believed, but their sins were upon him. No man goes to hell because of sin. You go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ's offering. And the one throwing down the temple and building it up in 3 days. So song, siao ton katabas, apo tu staru. You save yourself. That word is sozo. Second person singular, first aorist, imperative active. You save yourself. Accusative singular, masculine, third person, reflexive, pronominal, active. You come down, having come down from the cross, you come down from that cross, you big shot, you son of God, come down from that cross. I'm glad he didn't come down from that cross. Then he needed to die for my sins, because I'm a sinner. You are too. Homeois, kai hoi, archaos, em paizontes, pros allelus, meta ton grammation, elegon alus, osesen, hiauton uc denete sose. Also, in like fashion, the high priest, the head priest, making, writing, playing upon, impizo, that means to deride, to mock, and to treat with scorn and hate. Satan is behind the curtain using these puppets and laughing and laughing and laughing at the Son of God. But God will get the last laugh. Genesis 3:15, Satan, the seed of the woman shall hate your seed, the Antichrist, and maybe many of these people that have been inventors of false religion. You shall bruise him as to the heel, a crippling blow, but he shall bruise you a deadly blow. mocking toward one another. With the scribes, the county clerks, the legal recorders, the court recorders. That's who the grammateons are. And they kept on saying, others, he saved himself, not he is able to save. All right. He saved others, and he's not able to save himself. 1532. Ho Christos, ho Basileos Israel, karabato nin apo tu staru hina idomen kai pistiumen kai hoi sin este Romanoe. Sin auto one dison auton. Now that you're nailed to the cross, just come on down. Now that you're nailed to the cross, come on down. They thought they had overcome the Son of God. They knew who he was. They had traced him, dogged him every step of his life. Every step of his life. The first time that he said that he was the Messiah in Nazareth, they wanted to kill him. Yet they knew who he was. He performed the miracles proving that he was Messiah. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He healed lepers. These were all signs of acts of God, not men, not doctors, not physicians, not somebody with great medicinal arts as they accused him of getting the black arts out of Egypt when God told him to go down there, Joseph, to take him to Egypt. He went down there and they said he got all these black arts down there from the powers of the Satan. That's blasphemy because he did every miracle he did by the Holy Spirit. And they said, whatever you say against the Son of Man, the human, may be forgiven. But what you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you shall not ever be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. The Christ, the King of Israel. Come on down now from the cross in order that we may see it and we may believe. No, they didn't want to believe. That's a lie. He came down from that cross later. They put him in a tomb dead. And he rose from the dead. And they wanted to bribe people. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And they put a contract out, a death contract on Lazarus and him. They didn't want to believe. They refused to believe. They believed not. They hardened their heart. They closed their eyes. They stopped their ears up. They screamed with rage as he performed these miracles. And the ones crucified together with him, they kept on railing at him also. Now Luke 23:39-43 gives the account of the repentant thief. One of them believed. One of them sat over there and he said, we have done what we deserve and we're receiving what we deserve, but he has done nothing. And then he looked at Jesus. He believed. That's what you call deathbed confession, death cross confession. Jesus looked at him. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. That day. When we die, we don't go away. We don't float off into infinity. We don't go away. We don't dissolve. When you die, you immediately go be with God, or you immediately go be in Hades, one or the other. One of those went to Hades. The other went to paradise. At 12 o'clock noon now, high noon, there was a movie one called Time Called High Noon. When the clock ticked, high noon, they had a gunfight. High noon here, our Jesus Christ is on the cross of Calvary. And let's see what happened. Kai genomenes, horas ektes, skotos, egenito, f holon tange, Hios horas en ates. And having become the hour six, that's 12 o'clock high, darkness, skotos, it became dark. A full eclipse. Right at this time. A full eclipse at 12 o'clock. Upon the whole land. In that area, it was dark. They said it was dark all the way down to Egypt during this time. For 3 hours until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock p.m. Kai te en ate hora eboesen ho Jesus phone megale eloe eloe lamasa bakteni ho esten. Mer man nu omenon. Ho theoi mu, ho theoi mu. Esti eg kata lepes me. He's quoting Psalm 22, and he probably quoted the whole thing. Even if you quoted one verse, it meant read the whole story. Psalm 22 is about Jesus. Psalm 22 is about Jesus. Let's go back and look at that for just a moment. Psalm 22. This is what it's all about. Psalm 22. Now, we read this before, but let's read it again. We won't read all of it. Eloi, Eloi, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is what it would say in Hebrew. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani is Aramaic. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, and thou dost not answer, and by night, and I have no rest. Yet thou art holy. Thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee the fathers trusted. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee I cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted. In thee they cried out and were delivered. But I was not. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. Yet Christ, our Savior, God the Son, died on the cross of Calvary. A human sacrifice for all mankind and the whole earth too. I am but a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me and mock me. They separate the lip and they wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord and let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Yet thou art he who dost bring me forth from my mother's womb. You made me to trust upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All of my joints and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you who lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers I am compassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones, and they look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. That's our Savior. That's what happened to him for us. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for me. Why have you forsaken me? 15:35. Kai tenes ton pareste koton. Oikes antes elegon ede elian phone. And some of the ones having stood by, having heard, this is punctiliar action in perfect tense, they kept on saying, behold, he calls for Elijah. Didn't call for Elijah. He said, oh, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. They didn't even know their own Bible. Psalm 22. This is hard to read. 15:36 and 37. Dramon de tis gemesos. Spogon osus perithes kalamo epotason auton lagon afete idomen a erkete elias kathalein auton. And having run, one filled the sponge with a stupefying drug. Having placed it around a reed stick, they kept on giving him a drink, or making him cause to drink, saying, leave, let us see if comes Elijah to take him down. They wanted to give him a little painkiller to keep him alive a little longer, to see if Elijah would come before he died. They see that he was on the throes of death. The man was crucified twice, one with a flogging him, ripped him apart, then crucified, had the nails driven through his hand, his wrist and through his ankles. Pain to the point to make your heart explode in pain. And that's what happened to Jesus. Ho de Jesus, aphes, phonein megalain, exe panousen. And the Jesus, having this uttered, having dismissed, with a voice great, his spirit was dismissed. He dismissed his spirit. They did not kill him. He gave his life. He dismissed his spirit. We'll stop there for this message. 15:37 is where our Savior died for you and for me and for every man that had ever lived upon the face of the earth. But have you received that sacrifice as your own? We talked about the crucifixion of Jesus and all the details of it. It's a historical fact. Yeah, it happened. It's recorded in history all over the place. Jesus was crucified. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb, which will tell us later. But he rose again. He died for your sins, but was raised for your justification. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, we send this message out tonight. Father, I pray that it will reach the hearts of people saved and lost, and those that know you, that they'll accept that sacrifice. You gave it. Father, thank you. Forgive me where I failed you. I send this message out with your spirit to convict sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and to save ones that they might serve you and appreciate and glorify you with their lives, with their resources. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.